Hello and welcome back to Care to Share with me, Valentina, and the lovely Ali. So we'll start by saying our medical disclaimer that we are in no way medical practitioners, nor will we ever be. We do history degrees and we are in our 20s. We are in no way qualified. If you ever have any issues, our motto is always, if in doubt, check it out. And by that, we mean with your GP, your doctor, because as helpful as we try to be and as informative and factual we try to be, we probably will get it wrong at some point.
Yeah, and that, yeah, basically, Ali does that every single episode, and she does it so eloquently that we have to let her do it every time.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God, if I actually start speaking like you, Ali, can you imagine?
We should do one episode
where it's the other way around.
My grandma said, after listening to it, she said, you are, like, and vice versa, you are me
amazing
in northern font.
Yeah.
And, like, so when you listen to us, sometimes there's some words where it sounds like I get confused whether it's me or you speaking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's like the actual pitch of our voice is similar.
Maybe it's like the actual pitch of our voice is similar. I can't do it.
Ali, but I actually love speaking posh. Like, I can go into it really easily and you wouldn't even be able to tell
well,
that this
quite
is
Ali.
Well,
I do have a northern accent, but I don't think that's what yours is.
No.
So...
You just speak the Queen's English.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, we got slightly off topic there.
Theme for today's show is diagnosis.
Yeah, and our cancer of the week.
We said we were going to get that on, what did we say? I always forget
like a sound effect.
Yeah, sound effect.
Yeah, like cancer of the week.
When we get more professional, which
yeah,
will happen.
Yeah, at the moment we can barely get this together, so.
Honestly, we just spent 25 minutes making sure that we had the audio correct. We have to get here like an hour and a half early just to actually like prepare.
Yep.
Mentally.
But it's fine because now we'll actually get to be able to go home and go to sleep tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
So, cancer of the week is acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Apologies for mispronouncing that. Anyway, so we chose this one this week for a few reasons. So, a lovely girl in Langwith Netball, I won't say her name because I'm
a university netball society.
Yep. She's really sweet and she's recently diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And her boyfriend, who I believe doesn't mind being spoken about because he's running a marathon for her and he has a fundraising page, it's called Will Bray. If you want to support him, you can find his Just Giving page and it's on his Instagram and he's quite easy to find. It's like at WillBray01 or something like that. So basically that's the cancer of the week. So now we're going to go through some symptoms and stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, we have already talked about leukemia.
Oh yeah, that's another reason why we're talking about it. I forgot.
Yeah, but the thing is we thought it would be a good idea to talk about because we've actually not spoke about it on the show.
Yeah, we did it on our radio.
Yeah, and Tom came on last season to talk about it, but he was actually... That wasn't the main purpose. He came on to talk about men's cancer and like the feelings and stuff like that. But he actually was diagnosed with leukemia, so we thought it was actually important to just dedicate like a bit of time to actually going through some symptoms today.
Yeah,
but I have actually posted something about leukemia. So.
Yeah, because obviously I met Tom through you, but the fact of the matter is that now I know two people with it.
Yeah, and I think that really freaked me out when I heard that the girl had it, only because I was just like, I think it will always freak me out forever because of how young we all are.
Yeah, well, you know, because you don't think of young people as being ill in general, really.
I don't think I've seriously processed me being ill because I just can't get my head around it because you sit, and that's why we're doing this whole show, but I still can't even figure out, like, someone like her, for what reason has now she got cancer?
She's fit, young and healthy.
Yeah.
No other reason.
And the same thing happened with Max, who was the boyfriend of the girl who we interviewed last week, and the same was with Tom, and the same with me. We were all literally fit and healthy. And Ikrim, the girl who was on last season, we're all fit and healthy and literally for no apparent reason just get that. Like it's just bizarre.
Mad.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry. Some symptoms we'll go through one by one. So the first one, these are all really again, I think they're kind of similar to all the cancer symptoms in that they can be...
Yeah, but individually, a lot of them are just things that you kind of wouldn't go, oh, maybe I've got cancer.
Yeah, exactly. And that always weirds me out in itself because they're not really obvious. Because
one of them's pale skin, which is me at the moment.
Yeah, me every day, literally. Yeah. But it's true, though. Like, you would look... So, and pale skin can be when you've got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean cancer,
does
it? No,
it can mean so many things.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also there's feeling tired and breathless, repeated infections over a short time, unusual and frequent bleeding, such as bleeding gums and or nosebleeds, which is a bit of a... That's a bit more of an unusual one.
High temperature, night sweats, bone and joint pain, easily bruised skin.
Again, that's a bit of a unusual.
Yeah, I say bone and joint pain, if you're, you know, haven't got arthritis and you're young and stuff, I feel like that's not one you'd really...
Yeah, I think that's, it's not a young person kind of normal day to day.
But yeah, I get night sweats because like, when my housemates randomly turn the heating on in the night and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, because my bed's bright by the radiator. Sorry, that was poor.
But yeah, no, but it's, this is the thing, they're all really like not very out there ones. No. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that, like, you know, a lump, that's when you think cancer.
Yeah.
Most of the time I'd say that if you thought sort of a lump, like that's what I would naturally like put two and two together and think cancer.
Mm.
But then again, here's another one, which is swollen lymph nodes, which I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I had cancer. So again, I don't know really, like...
Obviously, completely different cancers, but I swear yours are kind of somewhat similar in the sense of, like, so blood cancer.
Many of the symptoms are the same.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, the main ones I heard of at the time were, they kept asking me, which we'll talk about today, like, have you had any night sweats? Have you had, you know, these type of itching of the skin was mine for lymphoma, which it doesn't say this is for leukemia, but, you know... They kind of all seem to cross over weirdly. Yeah. And yeah, the last three.
Yeah, you've got tummy pain, which is caused by swollen liver or spleen, unintentional weight loss, and a purple skin rash called a purpura.
Purpura.
Yeah. So it's not another Snorlegger incident.
Oh, if we've done that again, I can't. That's three times in a row now. But yeah, so I think the information is actually, like I said, is on the Instagram if you want any more information about like, what it is and everything like that. Because it's actually there's like a load of distinctions.
Mm.
And yeah, because obviously there's many that you can actually like get diagnosed with. But we thought it would be important to just, you know, talk about the one this girl got because it seemed very relevant today. But yeah, and on that topic, we're going to... Also, what kind of motivated us today was to talk about diagnosis, because we thought, you know, she's probably recently been diagnosed, and you know, it kind of brought me back straight away. And I just every time I hear, I just feel really like sad because I shouldn't do because no one wants that, but it's because I think I don't want anyone else to go through that experience I went through because it was really bad. But then again, I'm here to share positive light on everything. I'm also going to be very real and say what I felt because there's no point sugarcoating everything. But at the same time, like, there is also light at the end of the tunnel, basically.
Exactly.
So that's the key of today's show.
Yeah. So that'll be really excited to get stuck into because we did it last term with the radio show, but now we'll get to do it again with the podcast. We'll be able to listen back to it easier and it'll be great.
Yeah. And I think that would be a good idea. And just to actually set out the show, so we're going to do first bit, we're going to do... Ali's basically going to interview me because, you know...
Investigative first journalism.
First-hand experience. So we're going to do, like, the stage of not knowing. So, you know, that kind of whole process of being, like, getting tested and biopsies and everything like that. And then, actually, is that scarier than knowing what you've actually got and that type of thing? And then we're going to actually hear about, like, the diagnosis and hearing, you know, it's cancer.
Yeah.
Because those are the words that everyone dreads. And then, you know, just talk about whether if you are ever prepared for these type of things. And also we're going to have a bit of a talk about doctors and their role in all this.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get started. So I think I'm going to do this chronologically, Valentina, if that's all right.
Okay.
So give us, like, a rough date, you know, thing of when you started to have symptoms, but you didn't know anything.
January 2020.
Okay. And so with this point, were you at back at uni or were you, like, in the Christmas holidays?
I never left.
Well, he was at home.
Because I had a job here and it was obviously pre-COVID, so I stayed over. I went home, for Christmas Day and, like, Christmas Eve, and then I came back.
Fair. Where were you working?
Like, TK Maxx.
Oh, you love it, TK Maxx.
I love TK Maxx.
Okay, so that's interesting. And then when did you start to go think something? So you started, when did you think something was up?
I didn't think it was anything. Cancer was like a 90-year-old problem at that point for me. I was not thinking at all. I literally thought, oh God, I've got like a really bad neck. Like I really should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But that again was not because of the actual swollen lymph node in my neck, which was the symptom that I had.
Yeah. How big was it?
Really quite big, to be honest. It was like, it was not, it was literally like, we basically video these to put them on YouTube, but then we never do it, so we just have loads of stories taken off our, but we are going to do it. But I'm actually showing Ali right now how big it was. But yeah, it was fairly big, and it was big enough for my housemates all to turn to me and say, that's not normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean, guys? Like, and I think we must have had it even before then if I'd got used to it by then. But then they said, yeah, that's not normal, we don't have that. And I was like, oh no. So anyway, went to doctors about muscular problem. And I said, yeah, I was like, I've got really bad, I get headaches all the time. And I was like, yeah. And also, I was, whilst I'm here, I was like, could you feel this, like, on my neck? Because I just, my housemates said, this is the exact words I said. I said, my housemates think that I don't have this, and they think that it's weird. And she went, oh, no. She said, that's just, like, a muscular strain. Don't worry about it.
Bad.
So bad.
Yeah. Okay, and so when was that, roughly? Like
Jan, Feb.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm getting like a little timeline going.
Yeah.
Okay, so then when did you go and get seen by another doctor? Like what led that to happen?
So then what happened after that is that she referred me to physio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So then I went to physio, and he obviously, to be fair to him, I didn't bring up the fact that I had this in my neck. Mm. Although it was quite obvious, so it makes me think again, like, maybe he should have realised, like, that's something that's not normal.
Yeah, and didn't
normal.
You go see a chiropractor as well?
So the chiropractor
Don't jump too far, so let's get back to physio.
Okay, so physio, let's stay at physio. I did physio, like, once or twice, but then COVID hit, so he couldn't do it with me anymore. But he basically, he didn't say anything, didn't notice it. I was getting muscular, like, training, like, you know, to stretch out the muscles and all that type of stuff. But yeah, that was about, that's when did COVID start? January, February, March, April,
March. I remember it was all getting a bit funny.
Then when it started, I literally didn't think about it again. And then there was one day during the whole time up until summer that I actually, before summer started, I was doing my exams, that I was really, like, weirdly tired.
Yeah.
And, like, I will never forget, I walked to, like, literally, like, Sainsbury's around the corner from me with my housemates, and I was, like, walking back, I had to stop, I was, like, tired, and that's never happened to me in my life. So I put it down to exams, because I was actually working so hard at the time. And I just didn't think, obviously, why would I didn't think, oh, I was really overly tired, or maybe I'm even premenstrual or anything like that, you know? Because you can be tired then. Didn't think anything of it, really, that anything was linked. But I still had these things in my neck. But what would happen is that sometimes they wouldn't flare up as much. So sometimes they would be there, but I feel like they wouldn't be as painful. Like, they would kind of just, like, they wouldn't bother me some days.
Well, yeah, I swear, I'm not, again, not a doctor. But if you have, like, a cold or something, your glands are sore. So maybe if you're, like, fluctuating in just health in general, that would be made it, like,
irritated
different.
Yeah, because they were tumours at the end of the day. That's what they were. So maybe, like you said, if I was actually run down, like, it was antagonising it. It would make sense, to be fair. So, yeah, that was over exams. That's what all the were up to that point. And then, you know, when everything started opening again after COVID and shops started opening, I went back into work. I literally did about two shifts, and I couldn't, and then I had to go to the doctor because it was, I did two shifts, and then I went home to go to the chiropractor because let me just get this actually accurate. Yeah, chiropractor was the first step, and he was my uncle, and he's
nice.
Like, yeah, it was quite
keep
nice.
It in the family.
But because I think maybe that would have helped, because he was actually seriously concerned for me.
Yeah.
Like, and he thought, and he said, right, he felt all my neck, and he went, that is not anything to do with your neck muscle. He said, that is actually a lymph node, I think. And that's when my dad started panicking, and I went, Dad, I was like, can you calm down? I was like, it's going to be, I was like, it's nothing serious. but anyway, so yeah, after the chiropractor was the one, basically, he said,
we've said this last time,
he was my angel. Yeah, he literally said, he was the one who got me to go to the doctor, and he said, just get a blood test, Tina.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So I went to get a blood test. I was like, God, this is really painful. Like, oh, the blood test. I was like, oh my God, felt really sorry for myself.
Knowing me, it's the kind of thing I'd be like, I can't be arsed.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's one of them. And I was like, I don't know why I'd need a blood test, but maybe I've got anemia.
Yeah.
And then I basically went back to uni. That's how much I was. I didn't even think there was anything going on. I went back to uni, and then when I was in Primark one day, my dad called me and he said, "Yeah, he's like, so you just are you able to come back home at any point?" And I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Well, they've just seen loads of white blood cells or like an abnormal amount." Ali, I didn't understand what that meant. Yeah. So I was going, oh, right, okay. I was like, that's weird. Maybe I've got an infection. And they went, yeah, they said this could be some. You've not got any itchiness, do you? My dad's a bit. I don't know how to say this in the most polite way, but he's not really normal. You know? He doesn't say things not like he didn't mean this like, at all.
Saying in a way that was like so to freak you out. He's like, you don't have that, do you?
No,
you just do.
He's not. So he was just he was honestly just talking like, because he was going through everything in his head. His head must have been going like 1,000 miles per hour. And he just said, like, because they've said something like cancer or something like that. And I went, what?
Yeah.
I dropped to the floor in Primark. I was like, what? Basically, the fuck, to be honest. I was like, there was no better way to explain it.
Did you actually drop to the floor as well?
No, my dad was on the phone. So, wait, what?
No, did you actually drop to the floor?
Oh, no, I dropped to the floor, yeah. Like, I didn't pass out.
But yeah, but you were like...
my legs went, because I was like, what is going on? Anyway, so that was quite a bad experience. But then I got home. I obviously then said to work, like, I'm going to need a bit of a leave of absence here.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going on. So I got loads more tests. Anyway, sorry, that's your update.
So you went, so at this point, what month are we in?
We're in January, June, I'd say.
God, it was like quite like a year.
Well, the thing is, up until May, it was COVID, which was the... We're so used to it now, but that was insane at the time. Like, if you actually remember that was the biggest thing going on.
And as we're recording this, you don't have to isolate anymore. The positive test result as of Thursday.
Yeah, I know. That's so weird in itself. Yeah. That's how much time has flown. Like,
literally.
If you actually remember,
I always forget
March.
It's been 2 years. It feels like it was a year ago, but it's 2 years.
It's 2 years. And it also feels very, like, recent in a way.
I remember, like, this time... 2 years ago, my mum was like, go on Amazon and get hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I bought this like giant bottle. And then I remember she ran out at home, and as she was sending me back from uni, like literally like 5 days before they announced the national lockdown, she was like, go to the chemist and get hand sanitizer. And you just couldn't get it.
Yeah, no.
Could not get it.
Couldn't get hand sanitizer. I remember TK Maxx was selling like branded hand sanitizer. Yeah. I was like, what is going on? Masks. Like, masks were really expensive to buy online. I was like, what is this? Just so
I remember
weird.
I went into Waitrose with my mum. So it's a bit off topic from what we're interviewing, but I went into Waitrose with my mum, and that's what made me sound really posh then. but my mum was like, put a mask on. At this point, it's like March 20th. I'm pretty sure they announced lockdown on like the 23rd. And she'd been put a mask on. I was like, fair. I went in with her, and a man literally stopped and looked at us and went, ha ha ha. like we were like delusional hypochondriacs.
What, over,
yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, I wasn't wearing one at the beginning because I was at a uni and I was like, no one else was wearing one. I was like, why would I wear one? It's really like, unnecessary. And the government was telling us not to wear one. So I was like, okay, that's fine then.
Herd immunity at that point.
Yeah. Survival of the fittest. But yeah, I didn't wear one. And then my dad, everyone at home was wearing, my dad bought these like surgical masks, like, you know, they're really like
the
bondy ones.
With the
and
thing on it.
So
yeah.
Extra, and he sent it to me in the post and said, wear that. But yeah, if that wasn't the biggest distraction possible, can you imagine that? When all that was going on, the last thing I was concerned about was my health, because I was more worried about catching COVID-19.
Literally. Yeah, God. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. I feel like, do you think maybe if COVID hadn't happened, do you think you would have been diagnosed earlier?
You know what? Even thinking about that now, I'm just thinking, potentially, because... maybe I would have been more like aware of myself instead of being so aware of this world like wide pandemic that was potentially out to get everyone, just freaking everyone out.
And did you do you think that if you had dialysis earlier, would you have gone through less treatment because obviously you had less time?
That's what they say, because that's why they say the earlier you get it, the better it is. Because if I caught it in Jan, I could have been stage 1A and then could have literally done... Well, the thing is, I'd had very little treatment in itself, but like that was lucky, because really I should have had a lot longer. But you have so much less. Mm-hmm. It's like, obviously, because it's less intense, it's less severe. They've caught it in the early stages, nothing really to get rid of. It's like the dream, basically, if you can catch it. It's 1A. It's amazing. But it's hard to do that as well, because the symptoms haven't really developed at that point.
Yeah, for reference, with our cancer of the day, I'm pretty sure with leukemia, you don't get stages, do you?
I don't know.
I don't think you do. I think I asked Tom that in our interview thing last time. And yes, I don't think you do, because also I feel like it would be said in her, that girlfriend netball's post, maybe she would have said something.
Leukemia is definitely weird, like, not weird, it's different, because yeah. Tom's just finished treatment and he was diagnosed like what, nearly 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was diagnosed in the meantime, had my treatment and got over it, and he was literally still doing it. But what was weird as well is that his treatment was more, I think after he'd had like the actual chemo and intense and everything he'd had a lot, basically. Yeah. I remember seeing everything. He was then on, he must have been on tablets, I think, because then he mm-hmm. actually was able to become like back to himself again. Yeah. So I don't know really exactly all the details on it, but yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Oh yeah, if you were going to get less treatment.
Oh, yeah. If it was yeah. stage one, yeah, I would have, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the key to catching early, kiddos.
Yeah, so okay. Let's get back to it. We did go on a bit of a tangent, but yeah, we're back. So at this point, yeah. you've been told that you could have cancer. When did you actually go to a doctor and get told officially that you actually have it by a professional to your face? Do you know what I mean?
Ages, September.
My God.
Because in between then, I went through the roller coaster, and I hate to say roller coaster, it's such a cliche term, but oh my God. I literally had the low of thinking I had cancer when I was in Primark. Went home the next day. I literally called work as I packed up. I said, I was literally out of there. I was yeah. like, I've got to go home. Like, this is horrendous. Anyway, went home, and then I didn't really think I had it. So I just thought, I've just heard that word. So it's kind of freaked me out, but let's just make sure it's not that. Went home and then had so many tests. I can't tell you how many tests I had done of bloods taken and all that type of stuff over summer. Just meetings with doctors. But with COVID, there was delays as well. So mm-hmm. it's like 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, it adds up, doesn't it? And then you've actually been waiting for God knows how long thinking about this. Anyway, there was one day I thought this was the news, like if I had cancer it would show on these tests, like there's no way these blood tests would avoid it. I was getting tested for everything, Ali. I said, what am I getting tested for? No one told me. So I literally peered around.
Yeah, I don't want to freak you out, but I just thought it was sometimes worse almost.
Well, this is the whole point of this, so I'll get to later. But anyway, at this point I said, can I just like know what I'm getting tested for? No one told me. So I peered, like literally when this nurse went out of the room, I like looked at a computer and I was getting tested for HIV. I was like, what on earth is going on? I was thinking I was getting tested for like literally like anemia or anything like that. And then I was literally looking at HIV, I was like, ugh. Anyway, also, and then that day came when I was going into the hospital. What's weird though is that I didn't really work out. I was in the head and neck clinic, but I still couldn't work out why. Like,
what, the lump in your neck wasn't telling you enough?
It was really, really weird, Ali, because nothing was, I was not working out like why I was in there. I was thinking it was an infection of something else yeah. that was causing that, but it was not anything to do with like cancer in my head or neck.
Yeah,
really weird. How
even
you delude
if it was
yourself
with cancer, I just feel like my brain would not jump to Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I just wasn't there, and I just think now, like you would think you're in the hematology department, the head and neck department in there. Would you not seriously work out, or it's potentially something like cancer? I wasn't.
Do you think you're in a bit of like denial?
I think something weird happened with me where I really so convinced myself, and I mean it wasn't even like in my consciously, it was like subconsciously I was convinced that there was no, like you don't even let that come into your head. Yeah. So where I was up to, yeah, so I had loads of tests, and then when I was one day I was like waiting for these scary results, which I thought were scary, and it was not actually that relevant because it was just bloods. And I was like anxiety on the, sat in the chair like in this waiting room, went in and she said, nope, we've not found anything. I was like amazing. Went out and I said to the dad, I said, nope, they would have seen something if it was there. And my dad was going, oh thank God. And you know, and it was really, honestly, I think that was the worst point of my life, seriously. Yeah. Because we were actually seriously like crying with happiness, and then all of it was about to come.
Yes. Yeah, so then like what was the next step after that, like, because you went home happy?
So they said, we just want to like do some, no, so at that point, which is really weird when I think about it now, she said, this doctor said to me, we can actually send you away now if you're happy, we can do some more tests on you. It's your choice. So I just said, she literally put it in my hands, like give me the power. And yeah. I said, Well, I was like, I think it was my mum in the back of my head, but also, like, you know, she drilled it into me, like, just make sure, just get another test done. So I was like, well, okay, I was like, I'll go, I think I'll just get another test just to make sure.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if I didn't do that?
Dang, God.
I could have been stage four. Like, I wouldn't have even known. I literally said to her, I was like, yeah, okay. I made a decision. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll have one more.
That's quite bad.
Yeah. And I actually can't believe it even happened. Like, she said, she said, we can give it a few more weeks, see if, because I think, because the fact I was having no other symptoms,
yeah,
they weren't seeing anything. They were not looking for, really thinking, oh, she's young, she probably doesn't have it.
Was it like an anomaly that they didn't see anything? Or is it just because it wasn't the right test?
It was weird, I think, because I think it was weird because I had no other symptoms at all. And the tests weren't showing anything. So that, for them, was kind of like, usually we see one other thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it was a bit weird for them to see that. But, so I said, please, can I just go forward with a biopsy or another test or something?
What,
I said,
like, shove a thing in your neck?
Yeah, so what they actually did was they actually... Oh, I can't remember. Oh, they put me under a little x-ray to see. And that's when I really started freaking... Oh, no, I've missed a step again. This is the problem. So before I got that bad news, the actual results I was waiting for wasn't from that. It was from the x-ray.
Yeah.
And the x-ray was the low point because I thought they were looking for cancer at that point because they were saying it's really unusual. We're seeing so many inflamed lymph nodes in your neck. And that's when everything started ringing alarm bells because they were like, why is there so many lymph nodes that we can see? That's not normal. So I had a breakdown because, you know what, I was on a chair in this dark room in a hospital with about 8 nurses in there. They were all looking at my neck. I was like, my head was on a tilt. I had a migraine because I was so stressed and it was the position on my neck. And I actually did have muscular problems. And then they had this gel on my neck. There was like, they did take something because there was blood on my neck or something. I can't remember what they did there. But anyway, we waited for those results back from this, whatever they must have taken at that point, which I think was from the lymph node. And then basically, I'm just thinking of this whole thing. That was a biopsy, but there's two different types. So there was that biopsy and then there was another one which I had afterwards, which was much loads more in depth where they actually went in. Anyway, so let me just address that. So after that, got the results. That's when it was all good because I was like, I haven't seen anything. She was happy to send me away. I was like, no, let's carry on this procedure. So then I went for another biopsy. This is all making sense to me now. Biopsy again, which was actually, they went into under my armpit and took like with a big massive needle. Like,
did it hurt?
I think they numbed it. Okay. So, yeah, and I was actually at that point, I was really happy because I didn't have cancer.
See, I feel like I've slightly picked the wrong thing because my dog had a fatty lump, like nothing wrong with him, but we took him to the vet and he biopsied it in front of me. They just stuck it on a plate and like, we're like, look at the fatty cells. It's just a fat lump. But then
wait, what do you mean? They stuck a needle in it?
They stuck like the biopsy needle, whatever it is, and then they put it on this like little glass slab thing.
Because they take cells out.
And just showed
that's what
me
the biopsy
like,
is,
the fat cells. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I think it was a bit...
On the vet table.
I was very similar. I felt like your dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically what happened was, it was all very nice. They were really good, actually, in that situation. But I was really happy, so I was really cooperating. So, anyway, they took it all. I won't go into detail too much, but they took, like, a sample. They sent that off, and that was what I was next waiting for. And that would have told me exactly what was going on, basically, because it was actually in the lymph
node. Yeah.
In the lymph node. So, yeah, that point, that was getting to August, end of August. I'd sent my mum on holiday because I said, Mum, you go enjoy yourself. I was like, nothing to worry about here. So she went to Italy. I was like, I'm fine. Then one day, dun, 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 this is the diagnosis part. Dun, dun, dun. So this is actually merged into part two now. We've not really separated too much, but they kind of all blend into one.
You feel free to pause it and take a breather, have a cup of tea and come back.
Yeah, this is where it gets juicy. Yeah. So yeah, okay, I'm not going to put frills on this bit. I'll put, I mean, like, I won't say the two scary details, but I'm just going to say how it was. So it's just very relatable. But yeah, so... basically went into this hospital then. This is very clear in my head now. Went in. I was waiting, but again, I was happy because I was fine. Went in and it wasn't my doctor. It was a different doctor. And she was like, okay, hi Valentina. She I knew she was weirded out by me a bit because I came in so like chipper. I was like, hi, how are you today? Like, what a lovely day it is outside. Sat down in the chair. My dad was outside waiting because obviously COVID and all that type of stuff. And I was like, I don't need him. Like, fine, they're just going to confirm everything. So I sat down in the chair and I just seriously can't get over that moment. I think that's the most shocking moment of this whole experience. And she said to me, yeah, so just wanted to, like, clarify where we're all up to and everything. I was like, okay. She said, so, you know, like, you've had tests and you tell me a bit about your lymph node. And I was like, yeah, so they've been swollen. And I was like, I don't really know what's going on, but, you know, we've had loads of tests and we just don't know what it is. I said, they keep going up and down as well. Anyway, she then said, I'm, like, really in the room right now. I don't know if you can feel it. But, yeah, she then said to me, so then she started frowning and I was like, what's she frowning at? I was like, what is wrong with her? And she goes, yeah, so I just wanted to like clarify what we're looking for. And I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. I was like, she said, just tell, she said, we're looking for like Hodgkin's lymphoma. She said, do you know what that is? And I said, yeah, isn't that like, it's like some swelling inflammation of like the lymph nodes. That's what I thought it was, genuinely. And she, the face, like her, oh my God, I can't even think about it, it gives me nightmares, just drops. And she went, no, she said, that's not what it is. And then I was like, well, what is it then? And I started, this is when I started freaking out a bit now. And I really never thought I'd ever react like this in my life to something like that. You know, you think, how would I react and all that type of stuff?
Yeah.
And you think you'd be really composed or you'd cry or you'd, you know, I flipped out. I was like, what is it then? Yeah. I was like, it's not cancer, is it? I was like, it's not cancer. I was like, can't be cancer anyway.
Yeah.
So then I just stopped talking because she said, yeah, that's what it is. It's anyway, I'm going to speak to. I said, and then I said, I can't even tell. I started freaking out basically. And I said, can you just get my dad? I was like, can you just get my dad? And my dad, oh, I just can't even think about what he felt like because he got brought into this room and then got told that it was actually cancer. And then we were basically, I was just, my legs were shaking. Honestly, every single reaction that was negative I was having at that point, I was freaking out.
So you said that she said, this is what we're looking for. So yeah. At that point, were you not even like fully confirmed Hodgkin's lymphoma?
So she said, what? And then she was really good in terms of what she said because it was really clear. And she said it was scary because she was kind of negative about it.
Yeah.
But she was very clear. And she said, and I'm thankful for that to this day because she told me everything really well. Mm. And she said, we've basically been looking for this whole time.
Yeah.
And she said, the test you've just done has shown it's 90% chance that it's Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is obviously blood cancer. And she told me all about the blood cancer and everything like that. Yeah, and then she basically said, that it was all that, you know, the blood cancer. And then she basically said after that I had two options. I could either wait till they get, they've sent that off to somewhere and they're getting it like reevaluated to make sure we can get it to 100% because obviously you can't start treatment properly without that. And then, there's because of the delays of COVID, she said, or we can get you in for surgery where we can take a lymph node out and we can get a quicker response maybe with that. She said, it's very narrow window with the timings. She said, but those are your two options. Yeah. So she said, anyway, I said, well, I just don't care at this point. I just want to know. Which is weird in itself because you think 90%, you've got quite a good confirmation there. But I was going home praying literally to God saying, please don't let it be cancer, make it a mistake. It was 90%, it was a 9 out of 10 chance. I was literally going, please don't let it be it. But yeah, so that was the confirmation. That was the diagnosis. Well, it wasn't the diagnosis. It was the near diagnosis.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I'd heard it's cancer, basically. And we're pretty sure it is cancer. I freaked out. But then what was weird after that was that I actually just stopped talking.
Yeah.
So I got brought into a room with a Macmillan nurse and then they called my mum. So the Macmillan nurse freaked me out, to be honest, because nothing against her, she was just doing her job, but because she was Macmillan, it was freaking me out.
Coffee morning.
Yeah, because I was thinking,
why am I speaking to a Mac Milner? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what like old people do. Yeah. Why am I here? And then, yeah, so then she left and she told me about stuff and she left. And then my dad, it was just me and my dad and my mum in this room, and everyone, bless them, they were outside, mm-hmm. and they just witnessed me having an absolute mental breakdown. What, they could hear me, obviously, in this room. And then I walked out, like, fragile, walked into the other room. They were thinking, God, what's going on here? But then I was in this other room and my dad called my mum, and I heard my mum, because she was in Italy, and she started crying on the phone. And I said, I can't hear that. I said, I literally can't hear that. I was like, that started really putting me in a downward spiral. I was like, you, that's just something I'd never want to hear again.
Yeah, and then who told your sister?
I think my dad told her, because I couldn't do anything with Ali. I was literally in like a cuckoo land, seriously. Mm. Not the best way to refer to it. But I mean, I didn't speak for 2 weeks, my sister said. She said she came down, she was actually going to Portugal that night, and they spent so much money in a hotel with a boyfriend. And I was like, what are you kind of going to do when you're here? There's not a lot you can do. I was like, just go. I was like, no point losing that much significant amount of money for this. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I said, whatever, just go. But I literally went home that day and I watched It 1 and 2. And just bear in mind, I'm so scared of horror movies.
Yeah.
I'm not joking, Ali, it makes me laugh now, but I was like that. My sister said, she said, I knew something fucked up because you couldn't even, she was like, you weren't even blinking. You were like, you literally just watching it.
I don't know, you're probably like shock.
Yeah. I was literally, I just kept eating like these smiley face potato things like, with ketchup, and I was just like watching the TV, and I was thinking, I can't not take my eyes off this TV for one second, because I remember what's actually just happened. And that process went on for 2 full weeks until I said, this might sound crazy, but I said, oh, so in between that, then I had to go and get this biopsy done, which was creepy in itself because you get put under and all that type of stuff, and you've got to deal with all that. So, yeah, anyway, all that was going on. In the meantime, then I was just waiting to hear that confirmation. And I was actually supposed to be sent to this hospital in Manchester Royal Infirmary, I think it's called. But actually got transferred to the Christie.
Nice.
And that was, like, the best
Ever
moment
since
of my
I've
life.
Met you, I swear, the Christie Hospital is just coming up everywhere for me now.
It was like, for you now.
Yeah, literally everywhere. Never heard of it before you.
Acclaim,
literally never heard of it in my life before you. Can't say I keep up with internationally acclaimed hospitals. but then literally now I see it like at least once a week, Christie comes up.
That is a bit weird, to be honest. But it's like one of the things now you know about it, probably you noticing it more.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Christie are like renowned. So I think my mum kept saying, Tina, that's the place to be. And I was like, I don't really want to be there. I was like,
it's the hippest club in town.
And I was like, I was like, I don't want to go. I couldn't care less. I was like, I don't care if it's like got a gold star. I was like, it's literally like, I don't even want to hear it. Anyway, that went on for like 2 weeks. And then just to update date you on timeline wise, this was getting to September now. Mm-hmm. Didn't speak a word. And that's probably the advice I'd give today is don't do what I did in that situation.
Yeah, and not tell a single person ever.
No, not that. That's not even.
Because I would be so upset if I was like your best mate and you hadn't told me.
Well, no,
like,
that's not
obviously it's like you're up to you, but like finding out would have been like my poor little Valentina, you
Make
know?
A note of that because we'll get to that in a minute. What was it? Okay. But basically. I just made a note and I wrote like friend tell. So I'll just finish that off quickly, but basic advice with the diagnosis, key advice is do not do what I did, because if I could go back I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't really want to go back, but I mean like I wouldn't do that, because I think it was the way you talked about it was making me feel a bit sick. I think it was like I feel uncomfortable. I feel like everyone's looking at me differently and weirdly because I've got this cancer now, and I don't want to even say it. And I just didn't say it. And I said to them, my mum and dad and my sister when she got back, I said, don't speak to me about it. Honestly, anytime anyone spoke, I couldn't say a word to me. I left the room. I literally, every single time I went into my living room, I spent my whole life in there with my cat. And then one day I just said, I think it was after I got the confirmation that it was actually, Hodgkin's lymphoma, we're proceeding with everything. I said, I think the only thing that's going to get me through is the dog. And I've mentioned that before, but that turned me around. But it didn't. It got me from about 0 to about 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is good. She was a good going, to be honest, and it was well worth it. It was a therapy dog who literally, because it was
big
so,
Pablo.
Literally got me, do you understand, he pulled me out of that. It's a big thing, that, for
but
a dog.
But it's a bit like, you know, when you...
Sounds ridiculous,
you know,
but
when you're upset about something and you're holding it in and someone then goes, you're right, and
that's,
then you're like, oh,
just
no, I'm not.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know what, you touched on something. It was all, there's so much to tell. I can't even tell it in a podcast. But that happened where I was on the way back from an appointment and my dad, again, always seems to get the brunt of it, to be honest. And he was in the car and he said one thing to me, and because he wasn't asking, he wasn't probing me, he was just like saying stuff. And then I really just like, whoa, like everything came out. And I got home that day and everything came out, speaking to my mum, my sister. I was just thinking, I was saying, I'm going to lose all my hair. What is going on? And I was like, I feel like I've let the family down. It's just the weirdest thing that came out. But yeah, and then yeah, got
but
to
yeah,
Christine.
When you're anxious as well, your brain just jumps to things like,
I was freaking out. I said, I'm not going to be able to have babies and things like that, because the next stage after that is IVF. In case, well, it is if you're at the Christie, like, not, that's not everywhere. But they do offer it there, and it's just in case, like, obviously, treatment makes you... Well, not this, the treatment I was on, but one, if that didn't work, they basically say the ones after that can make you infertile. So they basically say, we do this now because this is the opportunity to do it before we start treatment. So I was like, 100%. I was like, I'm not going to risk that. Are you joking? So I got that done. But that seemed like such... I know I said it to you the other week and you went, I can't believe you actually had IVF.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was such a minor in the whole experience. It was, didn't seem like anything.
I'm just mad that that's something you have to do so young, just because, like, just in case.
Just in case. But the best thing I did, I've got 14... babies out there.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about it now in general.
That's
like,
what I'm
saying.
It is true.
Like,
right,
yeah,
when I'm older.
General infertility. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I never find a suitable husband,
yeah, just
I've got a backup plan. But yeah, diagnosis. Do not do what I did, which is 2 weeks. Don't speak to anyone. Because it's not, it just wasn't sensible, it wasn't smart, it wasn't even productive, because all it did was just prolong what was going to happen anyway. And if you can, just have that outburst earlier and do something that's going to pull you out, because it takes a lot to get yourself out of that place. Oh my God.
I feel like, because cancer is such a rough thing to go through, that you might as, it's going to be painful, it's going to hurt, like, emotionally.
Yeah.
To get it out early, like, and make it a bit easier on yourself later on, maybe.
Yeah. No, it is. And that's what the thing is. I realised that afterwards, which I think is normal, because how do you... And that leads us to one of the last questions.
Are
which
you
is,
ever prepared?
Yeah, and I don't think you are, because...
No.
You might think you are. Like, I was thinking, you know, one day, like, if I ever got that news, like, how I just deal with it, whatever. But... When I was in there and you hear that, I think it was quite a shock to me, because I didn't really even think I even possibly had it in the first place. So it was more of a shock in that sense. But again, I don't know if you ever prepared to figure out that you've actually potentially, even like this girl who's just recently been diagnosed, like, I doubt she ever thought that was ever going to happen to her. And like, it's like, you can't really prepare for those things. You've not got the skills, because you've never been through it.
Exactly.
Which is a weird thing to say, but like, because if I hadn't been through it, I wouldn't have the skills now that I've got. And when I said to my the person, one of the, like, the, you know, the nurses, like you get assigned a nurse, basically, she was like the light of my life. I love her so much, but I still speak to her now, like, she has you on text, like, if you ever worried about anything. And I said at the day, though, like, when I got the good news, I said, what if it comes back? And I said, that's like obviously a massive worry. And she said, you find a new strength. Which sounds, again, a bit cliche, but it's true. And that's what gives me courage, because I just think, although you found that one there at the beginning, because you do find it, because you've got no other option almost but other than to go forward. So you just basically develop that again, and you just keep developing it. And that's how you adapt, basically. And that's what I think, that's set me up for life now in terms of skills and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel like with my aunt. She's always like, kind of, it's almost like a new lease on life, kind of, the outlook that she has now. Like,
and
it's
I don't,
pessimistic. It's like, well, I can't, I'm going to do this now. Like,
And it can go the other way. People can feel very, very, like, sorry. And, you know, I probably have those days myself, but, like, your aunt, like, I think, unfortunately, but if you've not been through something like we've been through, you'll never have those skills, which is, like, a good thing, but a bad thing, do you know what I mean?
No, I know what I mean.
So, yeah, it's like, unless you've been through it, that's what one of the positives you can take from it. It's like, you will be, like, unique in that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, even though getting diagnosed now might seem like, you know, the end of the world, if anyone is listening who has been recently diagnosed, as I felt like it was the end of the world, I'm now sat here with Ali recording a podcast.
In our matching jumpers.
In our matching jumpers with Kez Sharon. Completing my final year at uni, I'm realising that actually, if I could go back, I'd realise that you're going to be fine. And yeah. Even if it might seem horrendous, everything you've got in front of you, you will get through it. And everything you go through, will you be able to take that with you in the future, basically.
Gosh, oh, yeah.
I feel so wise.
No, but that is, I feel like that's such a good place to like lead the podcast.
Yeah.
That message.
Like, the message.
This is kind of like why we do the podcast. It's to just make it more approachable, maybe, like the conversations.
Yeah, more normal. Like more, I hate saying normal, but we do try and make it more normal, because it's like, that was the motivation for doing it. Because we know it, when you hear it's cancer, oh my God, you stop freaking
the big
out.
C.
I freaked out.
Yeah.
So I can't really stand on a high horse and say, don't freak out, because like, I did.
But yeah, like, but so many people have been through it now, and it's just like one of those things that you can kind of like, not learn from experiences almost, but like, you just
use them.
Yeah.
I think that's the key, is using your experience to your advantage. And if you can do that, it shows great strength, I think. And like I said, if you are ever diagnosed or anything like that, you will actually genuinely get through it. Because, like I said, you know, and like the way I approached it was like, oh, I can't go backwards. So literally the only approach is to just get it done now,
exactly.
Move on. So you'll be absolutely sweet.
Perfect.
But yeah, thank you for listening today, and we hope it's helped as always.
Next week, are we doing our sister special?
Sister.
So we've got lovely...
You're going to have to interview my sister, because she won't take it seriously.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to interview Valentina's sister, and then we're also going to interview my mother, who is actually very excited to properly talk to you about
it. Who just got married, might I add.
Yeah, she did. She's very happy. And because she went through a similar experience to Valentina's sister in the sense that my aunt had cancer, so yeah, it'd be a good one. Good session.
I like how the different perspectives as well. I like how the age range, in the sense that it would give like an almost probably
middle-aged,
wiser maybe.
Persons.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if she's wiser.
Well, you never know. That's what we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, you have to interview Cardi, because she's just, if I say anything like, how did you feel, she'll probably just like laugh and be like, well, that's just not great in itself, is it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll try and get them done for next week and have that on the show.
Perfect.
Okay. Sister.
See you next week.
Okay, see you next week, everyone.
Thank you.